Joining me today on Impact Catalyst are Mads McCarthy and Marcus Hughes, and we're talking about Leadership St. Pete and specifically the Alumni Association. Welcome. It's good to see you too.
Thank you.
So let's do a quick introduction. I think it's by your uniform apparent what you do, Marcus. Mads, less apparent. You don't have the uniform on, so let's start with you. Can you tell us what you do for your day job?
Sure. I run a chain of retirement communities.
Cool. And Marcus?
I'm a lieutenant, St. Pete Police Department. I currently work in the Investigative Services Division.
Wonderful. Thank you for your service. Yeah. So you both previously participated in Leadership St. Pete. Leadership St. Pete is an interesting animal. It's a very tight-knit group. Whenever you say that, anybody who's been through it tends to grin and say, yep, you're right. So first of all, walk us through the special bond that Leadership St. Pete creates in its class members.
I'll go ahead and start with that. So Leadership St. Pete is a unique opportunity in that it's a collaboration between like a diverse group of individuals who come together from the community with all different backgrounds with the intention and purpose of making an impact on their community, learning about leadership and how to lead and ideally making an impact on the St. Petersburg community. So the bond that's formed in the 6-month course that we run is pretty significant. And it's really cool because the relationships that you develop with people you might not have had the opportunity to meet otherwise lend for unique friendships that honestly truly last a really long time, if not a lifetime.
That's great. Similar experience for you, Marcus?
Yes. I went through Leadership St. Pete 2012, and same thing. It's as soon as you meet these wonderful other people that, you know, call St. Pete home or like to work here, or is that the bond? It's weird. It's a networking bond that's there forever.
That's great. And of the things you did, I'd be curious to hear, it's such a wide variety from visiting the legislature in Tallahassee to working on projects to a lot of local interactions with city leaders. What were the things, what were the, of those activities, which of those stood out for you as your favorites?
So, like you mentioned, we have anywhere between 11 and 13 educational seminars that span a wide variety of different topics that we go through. When I went through my year in 2013, probably the two seminars that stood out the most to me were our diversity seminar and our state government seminar. In state government, I was exposed to a lot of information that I'd never really dove into before. And I learned a lot about our state, about how we operate and how our government works. So that was impactful to me. And then the diversity seminar struck me because I was able to connect with my classmates and people that don't look like me, didn't act like me, were different ages than me, had different disabilities, and we're given the opportunity really to kind of learn from their perspectives as opposed to learn about something that they've experienced by hearing firsthand from them. So those two probably had the biggest impact on me personally.
I would say the two that really impacted me the most were the ones where there was like a mandatory overnight stay included, opening retreat and the Tallahassee seminar, because we all know it's one thing to spend a couple hours with someone or with a group of people, but it's when you really are with them overnight or for longer than a work shift that you really get to know people on a deeper level and have that connection.
That's great. And when your class time is over, the party doesn't end, then you then transition into the alumni, Leadership St. Pete, Alumni Association, which is what you're both very active in now.
Yes. So anyone that's done Leadership St. Pete is welcome to the Alumni Association. And it's just a way of continuing to interact and network with other leaders, as well as to continue to improve the community, the St. Pete community.
And then what are some of the different roles that the Alumni Association plays with the current class?
Well, we've always been tied very closely with Leadership St. Pete. Not just because that's where our members come from, but we also host the graduation dinner as traditional host for that. We help out with the class project fundraising because you've got a lot of Leadership St. Pete past graduates that have all had the class project to work on that now work in different aspects of the community and can offer their help, whether it's, you know, direct donations or in-kind donations, to be successful with that. And then even from the beginning, we also operate a scholarship fund to try and reach out and help those candidates that maybe they'd be great Leadership St. Pete material, but they just don't have the financial abilities to pay for the full tuition.
That's great. And what's with scholarship fund, what's your target number of scholarships? Is it, you know, that you can provide to your one per year, or?
We don't necessarily have a target number because we leave it open for anyone to apply. And then the committee sits through and goes through the different scholarship applications. And so it's not like it's a set budget. Some years we'll spend more money. Some years we don't spend quite as much. But it's any effort to try and get those that may fall off the ability to attend.
That makes sense. So this year, with the class project, you had to pivot because of the COVID pandemic. Can you talk a little bit about the original charity subject and then the pivot that you made?
Absolutely, sure. So initially, we set out an RFP for the class project. Any not-for-profit in the area can apply to it. The planning committee works to kind of vet those applications down to a top five, and then we do site visits, and it eventually gets to a top three. The top three participants are invited to present their class project opportunities to the class at our opening retreat, and the class votes on which one they would like to move forward with as a class and rally behind. This year, the recipient was Family Resources, and Family Resources helps with homeless youth in our community. We were going to be transitioning their resource center into a livable, beautiful space that could significantly impact the children and kids that they serve. And as a result of what the community and the world's going through right now, we made a decision as leaders to reposition our focus to support our community at this time, which is a great opportunity for us to leave an even bigger legacy through our fundraising efforts in supporting the Fighting Chance Fund that the city's put together.
That's great. And so the Fighting Chance Fund is for businesses and individuals affected by the pandemic and who have been laid off. And this acts as a granting mechanism for them to get some funds to help sustain them until they can get back to work and get back open again. Certainly a great cause. We've seen some large donations. I believe the Vinix put in $100,000, the Milky family, I think Glaciers as well. So I think a lot of people are seeing the value of the fund like you all did.
Absolutely, yes. And it's a two-phase model at the current moment. And that phase one was what's been put together by the city. And phase two is in its inception of being developed, but is targeted at the current time to focus on raising funds from the private sector. And that's where we come in to help support that secondary phase of continuing to raise funds.
Great. So what are some of the specific strategies you'll use to do that?
Awesome. Great question. I'm glad you asked that. Our class has set up fundraising events that were initially tailored towards Family Resources, and we've kind of repositioned those events to focus, obviously, with the recipient being the Fighting Chance Fund. One of the events that we are going to have is a virtual 5K, which is pretty neat. It's an opportunity for people all over to participate in running a 5K. We're actually going to have medals and bibs for those that do participate. And it's kind of more on like a graduated extenuation of time. So we're going to have it May 15th through the end of the month and give people the opportunity to complete their 5K at any given point during that time frame. So we anticipate a large crowd for participation in that. We're also looking into hosting something with the Pinellas County Prom for the schools that are not in session right now for high schoolers so that they would get the opportunity to still experience a prom. We are looking into smaller events like a calendar and a scavenger hunt around the city. And then there's some online fundraising challenge campaigns we're going through as well.
Sounds like a good mix.
We are excited.
So if someone watching this wants to jump in and be part of that and contribute to it and participate in these, what's the best place for them to head to?
Sure. Probably our social media pages. So or the Chamber's Leadership St. Pete page on their website. Both have links that are taking people to the actual events that we are going to be hosting, and give them the opportunity to be able to participate in one of our events. And there's also direct links there that tie to the Pinellas Community Foundation Leadership St. Pete Fund, hosted by our Alumni Association, giving them a direct opportunity to donate.
Wonderful. Great, guys. Well, I appreciate it. That's it sounds like a smart pivot, and it sounds like you were able to reuse a lot of the strategies you had already started, and then you know, adjust as needed. And that all sounds really cool and innovative, just like we would expect from the Leadership St. Pete family of past and present. So, thanks for coming on, and keep up with the great work.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.